It is 11:05. I want to welcome everybody to the Leon County Research and Development Authority Executive Committee meeting. It is January 20th. I will call this meeting to order. It does not appear that we have any guests. Kim Moore is joining us by phone or by Zoom. So we do need to do approval of participation by electronic means.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
In favor?
Aye.
I'm official.
That passes. All right. Any modifications to the agenda?
No.
All right. It doesn't appear that there's any public comment, correct?
Correct.
An approval, I will accept a motion to approve the draft meeting minutes.
Mr. Chair, I've read they appear to be accurate. I motion that they be approved.
I'll second.
Okay. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Minutes are approved. The next item is the FSU Research Foundation loan for the North Florida Innovation Labs construction.
Ron. So if you recall, at the last meeting of the board, we were given direction to move forward to negotiate this line of credit with the FSU Research Foundation. We had some basic terms that we were considering at the time. Unfortunately, those terms didn't go anywhere. let me pull up. I sent you the draft term sheet just a little bit ago. Cam, I'm not going to share that screen if you have it.
That's no problem. I have it in front of me on my other monitor.
Not your mind. So, I can make that bigger.
No, you're fine.
I'm
just going to stand here.
So, we got no traction with the loan to grant conversion, none whatsoever. They didn't want to entertain that at all. One of the things that happened that was significant is that the negotiating on this moved from the Research Foundation to the FSU administration, and they took a little different tack on what they wanted to see. It was very much a business loan approach, which is not what we thought we were getting into with the Research Foundation, but it is what it is. And the initial commitment draft that we got back was significantly different than where we were headed. They had a much higher interest rate. They were looking for recourse debt, which we're not allowed to do. So we had a few issues. And I received a timely call from the mayor, who was about to have a conversation, who had had a conversation with President McCullough, and who had mentioned that they were working on this line of credit. And so he had another call scheduled that afternoon and had a conversation with the president and explained, I think, in better detail what we're trying to accomplish and the importance of the line and the impact that burden could have on the success of the incubator, if the burden was too heavy. So, and the need to have more flexibility in the payment terms. So as a result, we started down the road of negotiating this. They came back with a little bit better terms. They lowered the interest rate actually below where we had been. We originally started 3.25. I think they had gotten up to 5 on their first offer. And then now it's at 2.98. And we've clarified that it's fixed. But you can see they're now agreeing to non-recourse. One of the things that we found out in this process, unfortunately, is that I was not given accurate information from the EDA project manager, and that this does have to be approved by the EDA. I got Melissa involved. She had a conversation with EDA attorneys we've worked with on some of the other parts of the grant, and they were able to quickly move us through what the requirements were. It's not particularly onerous, it does not seem. At this point, they have a mortgage document that we have to, that Melissa will have to complete based on their form, but customized to, as they put to local customs, whatever that means in legal parlance. But
do they
have to subordinate the debt or?
Yes, yes. And that's what we've done here. So you can see it's a second mortgage loan. So we'll actually do a first mortgage document with the EDA.
Okay.
And that specifies the terms of default and what happens, depending on what happens with the FSU loan. It's very specific. And this is key because if FSU's second mortgage triggers a default, okay, that will trigger a default on the first one. And as a result, if FSU moves to foreclosure on the second mortgage, they'll have to satisfy the first mortgage, which is the federal share of the grant. So of the building, actually the value of the building at that point in time, whether it's through appraisal or, you know, some agreement. So it could actually be the amount of the federal grant. So right now we're in the neighborhood of $12 million. So if they force it into foreclosure, FSU wanted to, you know, take control of the property or liquidate it, they'd have to settle the $12 million piece or whatever the appraised value is at that point in time. So that's the big part. The one piece that's still outstanding, we agreed that if we decided, say we, you know, the cost of the building didn't need the full $3 million, but we wanted to use some of it for equipment, that equipment would then be collateral to the loan. Yeah.
But we can do that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's outside of what the EDA does, because the EDA is not doing anything with the equipment.
Okay.
So they wanted a first lien on any of that equipment. One item that's still outstanding, you can see the blue line marking out the pieces. They wanted to include in collateral all equipment, accounts receivable, revenue, cash, income, rents, and membership fees now or after acquired. Well, that's starting to get to look a lot more like recourse debt. And we can't do that. Plus, we have the complication that all of those assets are really going to be generated by the North Florida Innovation Labs on Innovation Park TLHA, DBA, North Florida Innovation Labs. They're the tenant. They're our tenant. We're going to own the building. LCRDA will own the building and lease it to IPTLH. IPTLH is not a party to this
document.
Line of credit.
So, the first lien is with the federal government, right?
Yes.
And the second position, I guess I hadn't heard up until this point the idea of using the line of credit to purchase any equipment.
Yeah, that was just we thought about it, that in the likelihood of that happening, probably very slim. Given the cost estimates. But I was thinking at the time that if we don't need the money, we know we're going to need money for equipment, and rather than have to go out and borrow again, or, you know, or if we need, you know, time to go find additional funds, that money could be available. So it's really not, don't know it's going to happen that way.
I guess I'm struggling with how this is then collateralized if it has to be subordinated to the EDA grant, and there is probably very little equipment that's going to actually be purchased with this. I'm not understanding how there's any security at all for their loan.
It is the subordinated debt. That's what we went in with from the beginning. We said that. That was our proposal to them from the beginning. We knew the EDA was going to require this. We cannot do recourse debt. We're not allowed to as a special district. It has to be based on the assets that are being acquired. And they agreed to that. That was the first thing they agreed to. These other assets came along, you know, the other stuff came up when once the attorneys got involved.
On both sides, probably.
Mostly when their attorney got involved.
Like their
FSU's attorney got involved. Yeah, we had not discussed that before.
I believe that the Research Foundation Board will be they will be required to approve the loan.
That's correct.
And that's an independent board. So
I understand.
I guess my concern is that they're how would they be incentivized to approve a loan with otherwise very favorable terms, but with no stated collateral?
They have collateral.
What?
The second position on the building.
But you said in order to in order for that to play out, they have to essentially satisfy the EDA grant.
That's correct.
That doesn't feel like collateral. I
understand exactly what you're saying, but this is not, we knew this from the beginning. This is not new. And they are the ones who came to the table to say they would do this. And yeah, they would do it because they want it. They, you know, what we're told from the beginning is we want this to succeed. They still have the opportunity to get that building. Okay. And frankly, I kind of like that there is a disincentive to move too quickly to foreclosure. Okay. If the only reason they would go to foreclosure is if they want the building, in my mind. And it is a building they could use.
And actually, Kevin, this in banking, this happens frequently. I mean, where you got a home, a bank has a second on a home, they go in and purchases the first because the value's there. And I'm guessing this is what FSU sees in this, is there's, you know, $12 million plus the three is the building worth $25 million. You know, and again, that would be the balancing factor for a decision.
The motivation.
Yeah.
So either, and again, the hard part, I think, is determining the fair market value of the building at the time of foreclosure, because who are the potential buyers of that building, right?
FSU. Well, it's a specialty facility.
Right.
And the potential people won't go be many. FSU would be one of the few.
Yeah. So they could actually get the building for less than they could build it.
Sure.
Because you have not only that, you have our equity piece that's in it, right?
Yeah.
We would lose our equity.
And the cities, counties.
And the city county piece, they would lose that. So you're talking there, that's about $4.5 million.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Please.
So just for clarification, have we just worked with the staff, because you're sharing that this would be a new board that would be up for approval? Have they already been socialized on what it is that we're trying to accomplish? Do we expect that there'll be a challenge to this approval?
I don't know. I haven't had conversations with their board about this. I have been, as a matter of fact, very removed from this because of, I don't want there to be a perceived or an actual conflict. As a matter of fact, I probably need to recuse myself from a vote on this. I mean, let's let the discussion play out, but I mean, as an independent board, the Research Foundation, they will review the terms. When I look at these terms, these are very favorable terms. My concern is that somebody is going to get hung up over how this is collateralized. And maybe not.
If I can address some of that, what Kim was asking. Kim, I don't know if you recall, but I made a presentation to the Investment Advisory Committee or the Investment Committee for the FSU Research Foundation, which is includes Laurel Fulkerson. And so Laurel has a very good understanding of what it is we're trying to accomplish. The negotiation right now is with Kyle Clark. So, I mean, that's pretty high up. The president knows what we're trying to accomplish. I'm sure that Laurel and the president are having conversations. She's been included in all of the emails for all of this negotiation. I think their board members that were on the investment committee, they get it. They voted to approve moving forward with the negotiations based on the proposal that we made, which included the subordinated debt. Made no mention of any additional collateral. So in one of the committee members in particular actually went the other way. He was one that suggested that we need favorable terms because we are a startup operation. If you want this thing to be successful, you can't weigh it down with a lot of debt. So I think they get it. And if that person participates, and you know he's a board member, I presume he'll participate. I think there are advocates that can explain this to their board.
Thank you. That does speak to it. I just didn't want anyone to be blindsided in the process, but if they've been engaged throughout and certainly at the president level too, I guess I have less concern. It's just that some of the questions that were coming up about the collateralization, and if we were trying to figure it out here, at least the board members, you of course get it, Ron, then I just wondered if folks that had not yet been socialized with what we were attempting to do, what that would mean. But it sounds like you've worked diligently and that board members have participated.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that will come through to the Research Foundation board. Having said that, you know, others in the administration may have a different take. You know, that they if they look at this like traditional debt, you know, they may have concern. I don't know, but certainly their counsel, you know, has concerns. I haven't spoken to Kyle Clark since, you know, we kind of got down this road, but I thought we were in agreement, again, because collateral was never even mentioned other than the subordinated debt issue in the initial term sheet, even. It wasn't even addressed, so.
Well, I think basically what I'm responding to is the fact that what you sent to us this morning and what's on the screen has a blue line edit under collateral. So obviously that is the where the negotiation right now is, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And if I'm understanding the document correctly, everything else looks like we've struck parity.
Yeah, I think so.
So Kim, back to your point, it does, from my observation, it looks like collateral is the negotiating point.
And again, this has only gone through counsel.
Okay.
It's not gone back to Kyle yet. Or okay. He was in the this was late yesterday. So where it was left is, and he hasn't actually seen these edits, but in the conversation, this was the one piece.
He who?
Dustin.
Okay.
He has not seen a formal edit like this. We've talked about it in an email exchange.
Okay.
He was going to go back to Kyle and talk to him about it and the president and Laurel and talk about that. So I don't know if it's their problem or just Dustin. Because Dustin, again, we've had different people coming into this negotiation at different points. Dustin is not fully... I don't think he fully understands what all is trying to be accomplished and what the motivation is on the FSU side. I'm not sure about that. I called him and spoke to him directly and tried to give him some more context to what we were trying to do, but I'm not sure he understands all of the nuance of what we're trying to accomplish, and that hopefully will come through when he's talking to Kyle.
Okay.
So.
And that's the only blue line, nothing below this. Like third
yeah, that's correct. This is, there's just a whole harmless piece down here that they've asked for it. And then it is subject to the Research Foundation Board approval.
And how frequently do they meet?
They can do this via email.
Via email, yep. All right.
And they're in Laurel's anxious to get this out. That was mentioned yesterday. Okay. So so basically what this comes down to is, yes, there's this issue of collateral, and we'll have to address that. But what I'm asking from the executive committee is to move forward with preparing documents on these terms, assuming that Research Foundation approves it. And that would mean doing the formal loan agreement, doing the mortgage document with the EDA, getting their approval, and then submitting this to the board. That, depending on when, you know, how long it takes to get this done, we may have to have a special meeting to get it done. My objective would be to get it done before February 15th when the bids come back. Because we can't award, we cannot award a contract if we don't have the funds in place to pay for it. And that's really what this comes down to, okay? This comes down to a decision to, you know, on February 15th to let the project die, ask for an extension of time, you know, but we only have so much time on the bids. We might have to rebid it, and there's no guarantee the costs are gonna stay where they are. Or we do what we can with this particular line of credit, move forward, get the building going, and continue to work on finding other sources of free money. That's our objective anyway.
How likely is that we would find $3 million of other money?
It's out there, particularly what the government's doing. We could go back and beg and plead with the EDA.
But we also could, if we approve this, there's no reason why we can't look for free money and pay this off.
Sure. That's what I'm saying.
That's strategy.
That's the whole,
that needs to be the strategy.
And we have, you know, the construction period is about 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So this is the buy time to get other funds. Now, I did send you an amortization to kind of show you what the risk is. Okay. The risk is that for 12 months, we have to pay 3 months after opening, for 12 months, we have to pay $7,500 a month in interest payments, interest-only payments.
This says annually in arrears.
Yes, I'm sorry, I forgot all about that. We did go to, Kyle actually offered that up, annually in arrears. It's going to change it somewhat. But,
okay,
but
so, modest changes. It would go from monthly.
Okay. So call it, you know, $100,000 or something, you know, for the first year. Okay. Mm-hmm. And let's say we're just doing it monthly, because that's what we're going to have to sock it away one way or another. But basically $7,500 a month for the first 12, and then about $25,000 a month thereafter for 12 years.
Okay. We got to get the extra money.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's the reality is, we're going to have to raise money to support the incubator anyway. That's going to be part of the business plan. But this is about buying time.
Mr. Chair, I'll move that we direct staff to prepare documents with Florida State University Research Foundation to move forward on the proposed. Is it still a line of credit?
Yes.
Still on the line of credit.
Is it with Research Foundation or is it with?
It's with the Research Foundation.
All right. Okay, with the Research Foundation, yeah.
All right, the motion's been made. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
And, you know, I think we need to address the question that you had about refusal.
So I'm about to, is there a discussion on this? Okay, so based on Dave, your motion being directed towards the terms that are described in the blue line edit, this would be the most favorable terms for LCRDA. If the Research Foundation will agree to this, that is to our benefit, I'm fine voting on that motion. In other words, if what we were voting on was terms that were less advantageous, then I think I would have to recuse myself. In other words, based on the beneficial nature of these terms to LCRDA, I feel like I can vote on that without conflict.
And I apologize, I did not think about a potential conflict of interest, but I would be concerned about you voting at all, whether it's favorable or not. Because if you have a conflict, you have a conflict. Typically, with university members, they do not have a conflict on voting by virtue of their position. Just the same, if we were doing something with TCC, Kim would be able to vote without a conflict. We've had a legal opinion on that in the past. But in your situation, you are not representing FSU.
Correct.
You are independently
I'm employed appointed. By them, but I'm not representing
But you them. Are independently appointed. I don't have clarity on whether or not you can vote or whether or not you have a conflict. So, it might be best in an abundance of caution to go ahead and Dave has done this in the past as well, which is when you think you might have a conflict, you could have a conflict, it's best to go ahead and recuse yourself and fill the form. And in the meantime, before it comes to a vote for the full board, I will get a legal opinion from Melissa to clarify that. That would be my recommendation.
That's reasonable. And I will accept that. And for today, for the reasons stated, I will then recuse myself from the vote. Is there further discussion? So the motion's been made. It's been properly seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And that's both unanimous. Motion passes.
Okay, not unanimous.
Unanimous with
one abstention. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't jump in there quickly. And I guess I don't need this approved, but my concern is if they come back and say, sorry, we got to do it this way.
That was the challenge that I was having.
So my position would be, if that happens, we'll have to come back to the board on the first week of February. But I would suggest that we go ahead and get documents prepared. And if that is the sole piece that's left, then we'll have to have the board approve that change. They're going to have to approve the documents anyway. This is just moving forward to prepare them this way. Does that make sense? We'll go ahead. If they insist, and I'm going to push back hard if they do, and I think we have a rational basis for doing that, then if it comes down to no deal or, do it a different way, then we'll prepare the documents to do it a different way, but bring it to the board the first week of February for their approval. We can't wait for February to prepare the documents, because that only leaves 2 weeks after the board meeting to do anything.
I think the motion goes ahead and directs you to go ahead and do the documents.
Yes.
I said no discussion, but I'm going to ask a question. Do you know something from your involvement with the Research Foundation that is in conflict with?
I do not.
I just wondered if there was something that you already knew. We've never done a deal where we weren't collateralized or.
No, what I'm responding to is there is a blue line edit with all the other terms stated. And obviously that is not, if this were in black, then that would have indicated that we had already agreed to that term. So this is jumping off the page as something that we haven't
been ironed out.
Yeah, it's
to be resolved.
Okay.
And so.
Okay, well, that makes it clear to me. I thought maybe you knew the foundation has never done something this way. And okay, I got you.
I think my concern, as I stated earlier, is that the Research Foundation is an independent board. And so they're gonna look at this and they're gonna have to make a decision based on an independent status. So let me ask
you. They will still have significant input from the president and from Kyle on that board, do they not?
They do, absolutely. Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm almost 100% confident that the president is represented on that board if it's not him and himself. Okay. So, and it's great that the president and the mayor had a productive conversation about this. So obviously he's very involved in, or at least seemingly very involved in it. Okay, so the question back to this group, do I have any role to play in this? Should I have conversation? Should I not?
Should you recuse yourself, I would defer, I think, to our executive director and allow him to run with that. I'll let you sit to the side. He can go through channels that he knows where to go.
And when, and the train's moving,
yeah,
while that's all being figured out.
And I still don't have a response back on this question yet. I mean, that was yesterday. So again, I have to get your approval to do something.
Yeah. Yeah. You presented this blue line to them?
Not formally.
All
right. We exchanged an email discussing this point. He asked the question specifically, and we said specifically we were not including those items in collateral.
Okay.
So it was strictly the subordinated lien and the equipment lien on any only on those assets purchased with the line of credit.
Yeah, just out of curiosity, who will prepare these documents?
Melissa will prepare the mortgage document, the EDA, based on a template that they provided. We have not discussed who's going to prepare. I don't think we've discussed who's going to prepare the line of credit document.
I guess they will. Be my guess.
They.
At least.
Okay.
Not positive.
Mr. Chair, this brings up
I know, that's why that's my concern, is that we just keep the train moving.
Some maybe 2 months ago, FSU's president was the presenter of a luncheon at either the Tiger Bay or the Economic Club. And following that meeting, I introduced myself to him and asked if he had an opportunity to tour our park. And if not, would we be in a position to set up a tour for him? And he at that time said that he very much would like to do that. I think this adds to the urgency that we try to get that trip over here, him to walk this facility, him to see what we're doing, a presentation by our executive director, all of the pretty pictures we've had, the diagrams and so on. And maybe even a tour of the rest of the facilities that he's not seen them. We could put together a nice coffee breakfast thing and then spend the morning with here and then a tour of the park. Or we could do the presentation and then a tour and then a little later after. But I would encourage that we try to get him on site as quick as we can.
Absolutely. So I can work with Ron on trying to set up a schedule and an agenda. Ron, you and I can work with Marissa Langston, who is his chief of staff, and figure out the appropriate time and agenda for that type of vote.
Yep. And Ron, if you'd like me, in that I have extended an invitation to him to be a part of that conversation, I'd be glad to. If you want to run with it, that's fine. If you want to run with it, Mr. Chair, that's fine. But I think it is absolutely important before they actually have their meeting that we get him on site as quick as we can.
Yeah, that won't happen.
All right, well, at least
their meeting is going to be virtual, and it will probably, I'm guessing, within the next few days.
Well, even if we get the invitation out to him and he knows that he's coming over here and he's going to then participate in that meeting, I think that would be helpful. Okay. My recommendation to you, Mr. Chairman.
It's a great recommendation. I appreciate, because of my other interactions with him, the number of priorities that he is working within right now. Yesterday afternoon, he did the State of the University update. He has some very aggressive priorities that he is going to be working on. And I just gained a new sense of appreciation yesterday afternoon as to what his calendar's like. So I think in order to make this very productive and functional, we need to prepare a proposed agenda so that we're able to, when we extend that invite, we know exactly what we want to accomplish and the time frame that it will require. Working with his chief of staff is going to be the most efficient way to get that on the calendar in the quickest time frame possible. I think it's a great suggestion. You did make it at the end of the last meeting. I have had conversation with Marissa specifically, but we need to follow back on this and put legs to it.
Mr. Chair, I'd be glad to work with our executive director on preparation of the agenda and see if we can move that forward pretty quickly.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay.
Thank you. Anything else on the FSU Research Foundation loan?
Mr. Chair, I thought that, and maybe it's just me hearing, I thought that Dave had put a motion out there and that someone had seconded it for discussion. Is that still on the floor, or was I beyond the actual action item? I thought that Dave had proposed something else. That was a motion.
Well, my last comments were not in the form of a motion, just a recommendation. I think we voted on the earlier motion.
Yeah. I have that one, but I thought you, Dave, because maybe, again, I can't hear. I thought you had proposed something else, and I thought someone said, okay, for the sake of moving it forward with a question, that they were seconding it. Okay.
I think that was a recommendation without the form of a formal motion.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a staff
direction.
Okay. I will try and listen harder.
I got it
on 100, but
I got the mic up all the way too, so
we'll scream louder.
Moving on to item 8, the request for bids, North Florida Innovation Labs construction bid instructions. Ron.
Yes. So the North Florida Innovation Labs Oversight Committee, the question came up after the bid instructions were approved. The question came from Kevin about the need for a protest process. We don't have anything built into our procurement requirements that indicate how to handle protests. We don't have any requirement to do that. Most of our RFPs, not most, all of our RFPs basically say the decision of the board is final. But having said that, the Florida or the federal code has different requirements. And because of the EDA grant, we now have to follow that code. And council found in code where we're required to have some sort of, follow some sort of good practice. It's not real specific on what's required. So I drafted this appeal process that we would like to amend into the bid instructions. We do have two of the three Infill Oversight Committee members on this committee, so I thought it would be appropriate and timely to get it done this way. So in your documents, you will see the language for that. Basically, what it says is that the bidders have the ability to appeal within 3 days of any decision, and that the infill oversight committee has to hear it within 14 days, I believe is what's in there. And given the sense of urgency we will have once those bids come in, we are already going to pre-schedule, and you guys should have received a notice of this, that we want to pre-schedule a meeting for March 1st, which is 1 day after the 3 days, but we'll pre-notice that meeting to hear that appeal the following day, if there is an appeal, to keep the train on schedule. So that is the appeal process that we would like to amend into the bid instructions. And if and when you approve that, we will post that immediately and send it out to all the known issue parties.
A small suggestion on the.
Yes.
So you identified 3 business days.
Yes.
And you didn't identify what kind of days, the 14 days.
Oh, okay.
And I would do that.
Okay.
Just for the clear.
Yeah, 14 calendar days is what I intended.
All right.
I have seen many, many documents where the contractor was required to place on the site a future home sign of the whatever at their expense. Do we want to do something like that?
It's already in there.
I missed it then.
The EDA requires it.
Okay.
Yeah. So the specification on exactly what the sign looks like, what the EDA logo looks like, all of that is in the bid document.
Good.
And the contractor pays for it.
We have that up there.
And the contractor pays for it.
Good. That's what I was suggesting.
Well, we pay for it, but it's in the bid.
All right. So I will accept the motion to accept the this additional paragraph modified by Dave's 14 calendar days language.
Yes, I'll second it.
Been moved and properly seconded. Is there any discussion?
Just want to add one thing, just to understand that with your approval, we will go ahead and post this subject. It will still have to be ratified by the board, but this is a decision that you're making that will have immediate effect.
Okay. All right, the motion's been made, properly seconded. Any discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That's unanimous. Motion passes. All right, item number 9, the HVAC maintenance contract.
So this is a recurring process that we go through on the preventative maintenance side. Typically we do 3-year contracts. That contract is expiring. The current incumbent is Engineered Cooling Services. So we did, in your packet, you'll see the contract itself, which includes the scope of work. All that information was put out in an informal bid request. We had 4 respondents. I provided you with the responses, and they were pretty far apart, to say the least. That's not uncommon with these. I think some of these contractors look at PM as an opportunity to have your foot in the door when something breaks down, even though they're required to bid on anything over a certain dollar amount. They get a lot of work because they're here. So this particular contractor, Engineered Cooling Services, bid at the same price. They did not change their price. So our recommendation, mine and Stephanie from Talcor, who actually managed the process, is to accept that bid for $13,797.48 per year, and award that and approve that agreement with Engineered Cooling Services.
Yeah, it may be here somewhere, but we're significantly low.
Yeah, $11,000 lower.
Significantly low.
And they're incumbent, so they know what they're getting into.
Exactly. And Stephanie's happy with the service they're providing. They do a really good job on the repair services. We have to, obviously we have to keep them honest, but we think they do a good job.
Somebody like to make a motion?
So moved.
Second.
And the motion is for staff recommendation?
Yes.
Yes,
to award to engineering approval.
Staff recommendation has been moved. It's been properly seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
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 That's unanimous. It passes. Item number 10, the budget adjustment for FIPS lease revenue. Ron.
So the executive director made a mistake in the budget last year. Yeah, so that's the bad news. The good news is the correction is to our benefit by $23,000. So I had, you know, we renegotiated the lease with the Florida Department of Transportation, and I included the lease reduction amount in the current year when it doesn't take effect until next year. And that difference is the $23,000. So I request approval to revise the budget to reflect the correction.
So moved. As treasurer, I'm pleased to acknowledge that.
All right. It's the requested approval of the budget's been moved. It's been properly seconded. All in any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
It's unanimous. Motion passes. Staff reports.
So the director of the North Florida Innovation Labs is not here, as you may have noticed. He is actually down the street giving a presentation to the Florida Association of Counties with Commissioner Dozier down at the Research Foundation A building. So these folks are apparently coming from all over the state, and he is giving them a presentation during lunch, I believe. I'm talking about Innovation Park, but mostly focused on what we're doing with the North Florida Innovation Labs. And Kristen is presenting there as well, talk about it. And the whole conference is about innovation. So it's a pretty good opportunity for us.
That would be a good group to make some connections with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, beyond that, I mean, that's been our primary focus are the things that we brought before you today. I don't have a lot else to report. We're in the wrapping up phase of the audit. And, you know, we finished the, as I mentioned before, there's the GASB 87, which you all are sure excited to hear about. It's almost as exciting as I was to do it, but it was a project that probably took 50 hours of my time that generated a net change in our position of about $2,000. But it did add about $3 million in assets and $3 million in liabilities. It's just it's an exercise that the Government Accounting Standard Board decided to have government entities such as ourselves, the lessors and the lessees, reflect the asset for the future lease, the present value of the future lease payments we're going to receive on long-term leases. And then showing a, you know, sort of a deferred revenue, if you're familiar with that process, deferred revenue that's then amortized over the life. So one is done at a, you know, present value calculation. The other one is an amortized straight line. So you got these little differences in terms of timing of those payments. Plus, you'll see on the, we'll call it the income statement, you'll see instead of all of it being rent, you'll see an interest component, you know, for the part that recognizes the time value of money. We're trying to keep those things separate within our internal records so that we know what's real in terms of interest revenue that we're actually getting versus this, you know, imputed interest rate that we're getting on those. But anyway, just say that it was a major project. I'm not being conservative with 50 hours. It could have been very well more, but anyway, that is done. The information is to the auditors. I just, while sitting here, got an email that we have just got our GASB 68 information from the state, which is the pension plan stuff. That will take, I've done as much work on that as I can, so it'll take a few more hours to get that wrapped up. And then we'll go through the footnote disclosure stuff and get all that information and draft approved by them, and then move to the audit committee, which I think we're moving, if I'm not mistaken, Dave, I think that's in March, but there's a whole process to get there. And then we'll present that to the final draft in April to the board. But other than that, that's, I mean, those are the main things. I think Bill's doing a great job of continuing to work to find money, meeting with entrepreneurs, networking throughout the state, you know, on opportunities. He's working with the legislature trying to get that funding request moving forward. I believe that was, let's say, $5 million. Working with Representative Schoaf on the Republican side, but we haven't seen anything moving yet on that. We are going to do a for the Technology Day down at the State House. They're having an event. I believe it's on February the 18th, somewhere in there, and we'll have a booth down there showcasing Innovation Park and what we're doing with the North Florida Innovation Lab. So we actually have two booths reserved. We're trying to figure out how we're actually going to use those or go to one. Bill's also done a nice job of recruiting other startup companies to go down there and showcase what's being done in Tallahassee. So, you know, trying to build that, you know, the idea in the legislator's mind that there's technology stuff going on here. We need to support that. So hopefully that'll pay off in the long run.
And that is at Turnbull, or where is that?
No, that's going to be at the state capitol. Okay. So there's also a luncheon and a reception and all that on the 22nd floor. So we'll be attending that. And we can get that information out to y'all if you're interested in going to that or seeing that. We did it a couple of years ago, pre-COVID, and the turnout was mostly lobbyists and vendors.
People want a free lunch?
Yeah, didn't see a lot of legislators there. That's my only concern with that whole process. But if it's not the big donor lobbyists that are hosting these things, I think.
Who pays for that, by the way?
They don't charge us anything. So I'm not sure who's paying for that.
I went to it a few years ago, and there's some interesting things going on that I had no idea about. So some of that, I think not. Then
I still don't.
20-year-old would have known more than I knew, but
we I don't have a status today on Dan Foss. We're supposed to have a meeting with OED on Monday, but it got moved to, or Tuesday, it got moved to tomorrow. But I have some concerns that's not moving forward. Last I heard was through the engineer that they are scaling down the first phase because of cost constraints. So everyone's having this problem. So they're scaling down that first phase. But I have my meeting with OED tomorrow, and I think they'll have more information on what's happening there. My concern is that they may want to look at the money they owe us and the timing of the payment, because technically they haven't broken ground yet. Even though they were initially willing to accept the ceremony, the groundbreaking ceremony that they have as the groundbreaking, there may be some extenuating factors that might impact the flow of that money. I'm hoping to get a clarification on that tomorrow.
I'm sorry, go ahead,
Dan. Just an update. Ricardo and I were swapping emails not too long ago, and in that conversation, he extended invitation. We had lunch together sometime, and I said, let's wait until after the first year. So I will get back to him and offer the opportunity up again for let's do lunch, and maybe we'll get some more conversation then.
Okay, good.
How does the potential timing of the Dan Foss money influence our project?
Our cash flow.
Well, so the MOU says you've got to have, there are three payments, roughly equal. Okay. The first one is upon the groundbreaking of the Dan Foss project. The second one is upon the certificate of occupancy. And the third one is 12 months after the CO. So the board approved the second payment to be used to help fund the increase in the match required for the additional EDA funding that we got, the $2 million we got. We're going to use the $268,000, whatever, to go towards the $450,000 I think we have to pay in matching funds. So, yeah, from that standpoint, that's going to be important. So we'll have to look at that in terms of, is the timing going to work? You know, if it's the CO happens later, we may want to wait on doing the renovations here, as much as I hate to say it, because that's what the first tranche was going to be used for, the renovations in Collins and Morgan. So we'll have to see. That's why it's this is taking longer than I thought it was going to take. I thought from my last conversation with him, the groundbreaking was, hey, we're full steam ahead. But,
we considered what they did a groundbreaking.
Well, for purposes of the MOU, it wasn't defined what a groundbreaking was. It just said groundbreaking.
Yeah. So they had photos of them out there with the shovels and.
Yep, I was there. It was.
And their senior executive management team participating and.
One, yes, and Ricardo and one of the folks from Denmark.
From Denmark, yeah.
Yeah.
And they, in their mind, declared it as a groundbreaking.
Yeah, and OEB, agreed that was the groundbreaking, but I have not been able to get any money out of them since, and I don't know if that's the sticking point. So that's the conversation tomorrow.
Okay, and I guess my question and direction would be just to know that you are working on whatever the contingency plan is.
Yeah. Yep.
Expect the best and prepare for a challenge, right?
Yep.
Okay.
We may have to get a loan against the future use of that property from OEB. I don't know. Who knows? I can't. I've got to wait till I have some hard facts to figure out the planning, but
okay.
It's on the radar. We are also working on the other grants that we have in the pipeline. The ARPA grant, we finally got a signed document back on that. So we're putting the spending plan together. I do need to do another document between LCRDA and IPTLH that's subject to city and county approval. I don't expect that's going to be a big problem, but that might just be the paper trail. We need to exchange the money in between. I'm going to do it as a simple services agreement between the two organizations so that we can basically what it means is that IPTLH is receiving the grant money. LCRDA is providing the services. So there has to be some agreement where we just bill IPTLH, they pay us, and they get reimbursed out of ARPA. So it's just a cover the paper trail, basically, for the purposes of the grant. That makes sense? So we're working on that. We're working on grant accounting, which is now becoming a big deal. We have no staff to do grant accounting, but just to make sure that we stay in compliance with all the grant terms, that we submit our invoices timely to get reimbursed, and all those mundane things. But if you don't bill them, you don't get paid.
So if we need, is that a new person that is necessary, or is it just a training?
Just another hat for me.
Okay.
We are going to reach a point here, I think, pretty soon where we're going to have to look at more admin help. But we have no funds to pay for it at this point, which brings up the other issue, which is our director of market engagement. We are contracted right now with Denise Bilbo.
Is that working all right?
Yeah, it's working fine. I think she and Bill go on break. And her biggest thing is she's got very limited time. I think she's agreed to do up to 10 hours a week.
But she's knowledgeable.
She is, and her she's a lot more efficient than new people are. But there's still a need to have somebody local. So Bill had recommended someone who has recently started up a recruiting firm here in town. So you may know Lester Hutt, who's Ime Hutt's husband. Right. Ime is the
Golden Lighting.
She's also served as the chair of the Dummy Station board. But anyway, Lester has this new firm, and he's a little different in his approach with recruiting. We're doing it on an hourly basis, so I've contracted with him on a contract not to exceed $5,000, paid for out of the funds we're not paying on salary right now, salary and benefits, to go out and find somebody. We did an initial search, got zero qualified responses. So he has a process. I was very impressed with their approach to this, for everything from helping us rewrite the job description to using some electronic tools to recruit and manage the process. Did some assessment tools that we have not done in the past. I think, you know, making sure we have a cultural fit so that hopefully whatever we end up getting is not, you know, too short term. So anyway, trying to just improve that process a little bit. I think this hire is very important and we want to get it right this time. So we've enlisted that help to try to get that done. But yeah, the admin piece with the grants, with everything Bill's trying to get done. You know, Bill and I are quite a bit different in the way we work. You know, as you all know, I'm an in the weeds kind of person, and obviously comfortable with both being in the weeds and not in the weeds, but Bill is not an in the weeds person. Bill is, I have an idea, let me get it started and hand it to somebody to run with. So that's really hard in our environment because we don't have a lot of staff. And, you know, Peggy is doing what she does and she's part-time. And but I think we're going to get to the point here pretty quick. We're going to figure out some additional admin help to get some more things done. You know, Bill's, we just talked yesterday about all the stuff he's working on, things like the event for our own groundbreaking, which is in March. So we've got to start planning that. You know, Peggy's helping with some stuff as she can. They just had a Teams call with Denise yesterday, and they're working through some of those specifics. But I just think we're going to have to figure out some admin help here pretty soon just to get some of this. And like I said, with the grant piece, some of this was intended to come with the incubator anyway. We know we're going to have to staff that up a little more than what we need here. So we're going to see over time, I think, this sort of shift from what we need for LCRDA to what we need to add that will eventually be on the payroll for the Portfolio Innovation Labs. They're going to have a lot bigger need, and you're going to see us sort of pulling back to our more traditional role with LCRDA. My goal is to eventually have the Norfolk Innovation Lab stand on its own, not independent from a board control standpoint, but independent from a administration standpoint, that it can really stand on its own, and the LCRDA goes back to its focus on developing a park and you know, the true research park focus. Not that it's, you know, totally handed off forever, but it should be able to stand on its own at some point. But yeah, so that's, I don't know if I answered the question, but that's the concerns that we be able to handle. There is so much administratively that we have to do right now that it's become pretty unwieldy. Bill is also working on something called Startup Wind. I think he made a brief presentation to y'all at the board meeting, but it's a platform for putting training online, and we're looking at doing some of the SBIR CTR stuff on there. We've got some grant money through FAMU to help pay for that. He's going to make a presentation at the board meeting to go into more detail, because it is an expensive item. And so there is some cost for us to do this, but we have grant funds right now to pay for it. So we're going to do that. Other than that, right now, we're just trying to get ready for the board meeting. There's just a lot of balls in the air. I'm still going back after the effective date of the nonprofit so that we can go get our sales tax exemption from the state for the nonprofit. So old mess, because the IRS got the effective date wrong. And I filed that 2 months ago, 3 months ago, something like that. So it's just waiting for them to do what they do. But that's the biggest part of the report. I have more details in my written report for the board.
Any questions for Ron?
I have one. Should the construction prices come in so out of whack that we don't see what's the unwind step?
Yeah, that's a hard one. Trust me, I've been thinking about that. What's the contingency there? you know, I think the first step is we go back to the EDA and we say, here are the numbers. Okay. Do you have any more money? and you know, we got $2 million last time and I wasn't expecting it yet. The problem is anytime they give us money, there's match dollars required. The other ask could be, can you give us more time? And we just discussed what the downfall is, that, you know, with, you know, how long are the bids good for? What happens to cost in the meantime? All of that. But that would still be an option. If it's so out of whack, we can't cover it with the loan or anything else, then, or you can't find more time, can't find any additional funds, then to actually unwind it, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the EDA's requirements will be. Is it, do we take the design and put it on the shelf? You know, because we're going to have, I don't recall the number right now, but it's at least, what, 800,000?
Close to a million.
Yeah, it's going to be close to a million by the time we get through this bid process. I mean, the whole thing's a million and a half is the contract with the architect, but I think some of that's dependent on construction management. Yeah. So, and then you have, you know, FSU and OEB's contributions, which they've already given us, each have given the $500,000 each. You know, what's the expectation? There's nothing in the MOU. There is no agreement with FSU in terms of what happens if. There's no provision in the MOU with the OED on what happens if, other than that their contract says that they will do a percentage of the federal share, basically their relative, whatever the feds allow. So that if the feds don't allow any of that expense, okay, then we're on the hook, you know, so. Yeah, that is a risk. Now, can we go beg and plead? I think so. But I think if anything, it's just buying time.
Okay.
Yeah, Mike, trust me.
So failure is not an option.
That's what we've been saying all along. And that's why this loan, the loan piece is so important. It's, we need to buy that time.
Okay. Well, Ron, I think we all recognize there's a tremendous amount that you have been working on, that you are continuing to work on, that you will need to remain focused, diligently focused on, certainly over the next few or several months. So we support you. We're encouraged by your efforts, and you're doing a great job. Keep us posted to let us know how we can help.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's a lot.
I'm glad you got a little time off for Christmas, so that was hopefully
just
give you a little bit of rewind time.
Just in time to get COVID. But other than that, yeah.
Anything for was that it for your
report? That was it for my report.
Anything for new business?
Yes, sir.
Please.
I ran into a fellow named Dan Heater the other day. Dan is the just recently retired director of facilities management for the University of Iowa. And I looked up University of Iowa, and they claim to be the nation's premier public research, one of the public research universities dedicated to academic excellence, groundbreaking discoveries and creations, and so on. So we got to talking about Innovation Park, and he had some interest in coming over here visiting, and I thought it might be good just for him and Ron to sit down. And he immediately asked how much have we asked from the university for and how much about this, that. He seems to have some basic knowledge of what's going on in Iowa that maybe we can pick his brain and find this or that. So after this meeting, we're going to visit together.
Good. keep us posted on those conversations. Certainly cannot hurt.
Yeah. Director of research at that university, which dedicates itself to director of facilities, which dedicates itself to research, is maybe some interesting conversation out there.
Yeah, my younger son, who got his PhD from FSU, actually looked at University of Iowa for his PhD, for his master's and his PhD, and actually visited out there a couple of times. So he was very impressed with him.
Good.
we mentioned Dan Foss. He says, "Oh yeah, I know all about Dan Foss. They do this. They do vows. They do." I don't know whether they had a relationship with Dan Foss out there too, or whatever. But.
Could be another division.
Yeah. Oh, it would be another division.
Yeah.
Not on that topic, but on an administrative front, is it possible for us to look at having one or two of the remote microphones set up for future meetings? Kim, I've noticed that this has been a super hard meeting for you here. I've seen you leaning in to listen. And I don't know if there's a way to do that with it that's cost effective, but I don't know that we've been entirely effective in the way that it's being heard.
It was a note to myself that I absolutely need to be in the room because, yeah, you only catch pieces of conversation.
Yeah, I support that. Having been on Zoom meetings, it's sometimes a little challenging to hear someone else in the room talking. I would support that.
Okay, I can see
allows for it.
I don't know that. I don't recall seeing anything on that particular device. Its sound quality is much better than any of the other devices I've looked at. A lot of times, it's just people projecting their voice. And this was really designed, I think, for putting it on a conference table. Not quite so far apart, but I can look.
Anybody else? Hearing none, the meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you guys. Have a great one.